Welcome to the Blue Security Podcast, a weekly podcast for information security defenders, where we bring you discussions on best practices, tools, and implementation for enterprise security. Now, here are your hosts for today's show, Andy Jha and Adam Brewer.
Welcome to this week's episode of the Blue Security Podcast. I'm Andy, your host.
And I'm Adam, your co-host.
We've been talking about managed machines, managed devices in a lot of our recent shows. Adam and I definitely think that is one of the most important things that you could do to improve your security posture if you are not requiring managed machines. And so tonight we wanted to give you an update because Microsoft, and just as a disclaimer, we always say and let our listeners know that Adam and I do work for Microsoft in our field sales organization. We don't have anything to do with MSIT or the policies that come out, although we do like to talk about what MSIT is because it sometimes is a good roadmap for organizations to look at their own internal policies and see how they might want to mirror someone like Microsoft. So
absolutely.
Microsoft is officially changing its internal compliance policy when it comes to managed devices from requiring Intune and Entra joined devices only. One of the biggest changes is that in the next month or so, I don't remember the exact timeline, but it is very short.
It's like 3 weeks from now, or correct, 2 weeks at this point. It's late April.
Yeah, it is not a long runway for people who have hybrid Entra joined devices. They got emails saying if they don't change to an Entra joined Intune compliant device, then their device would become non-compliant and they will no longer be able to access company resources. And this is also in line with Microsoft's current guidance, which we talked about a few months back, where Microsoft is recommending Entra joined devices for all new devices. And I'll put the link in the show notes again, but reading from the documentation, it says Microsoft recommends deploying new devices as cloud native using Microsoft Entra Join. Deploying new devices as Microsoft Entra Hybrid Join devices isn't recommended, including through Autopilot. And what's interesting is literally this week, I talked with a customer that is still doing just domain joined machines. And if this is you, you are way behind the curve when it comes to security and managing devices. The majority of customers that Adam and I talk to are at a bare minimum hybrid Entra joined. And that allows them to use conditional access to enforce the state of that device as a managed machine. So if you want to just start requiring managed machines, hybrid Entra joined is the bare minimum to get started. But in today's world, it's really not enough because that's just the initial state. I use this example with customers where I say, yes, you're requiring a managed machine, but it's the same as if I were to try to get into a club and I present them my badge for the event and I get in. Once I'm in, I can do whatever I want. That's how hybrid Entra join and compliance works, is they just check to make sure that you're hybrid Entra joined. Once they check that, nothing else is checked after that. If the device state changes and gets compromised or whatever, just like if I'm in the club, once I get in, I could do nefarious acts and they won't check. They just assume that I'm okay because they checked me at the door. Versus when you're Entra joined and Intune compliant, there is a constant, continuous device health attestation. So if the state of that device changes, the risk level of that device changes, then you can, on the fly, revoke company assets, you know, access to company assets. And so that's like if I were to show my badge at the door, I get in, but then there's a bouncer who's roaming around constantly looking and checking and maybe stopping me and checking my pockets, making sure I'm not stealing anything, so on and so forth. So that is a much better way of handling device risk and security than just the RU hybrid Entra joined. Okay, now you have access versus I'm going to be compliant all the time, make sure that you have up-to-date AV, make sure you're patched, make sure that nothing else is going on. And if so, you can have access. If not, I'm going to revoke access. So that's the way you should think about device management. I'll take a pause there. Adam, I know this is one of the topics that you're also very passionate about, so get a chance for you to respond here.
When this news first came up in our thread with some of our friends at Microsoft, I jokingly said, I bet this will lead this week's Blue Security Podcast. And here we are. I had forgotten, Andy, that we had published this in our documentation. And now that I saw it, I remember now that we discussed it on the show. So it's been in public facing documentation now, this guidance that, hey, you know, we really recommend if you're setting up a new device, just make it cloud native enter join. And now we're really putting our money where our mouth is. Sometimes people have this weird misconception that running Microsoft IT is somehow easy or doesn't have challenges. Microsoft is a huge organization. It's a global organization in practically every country in the world with 200,000 plus employees and vendors. That's a difficult environment to manage. I don't care who you are. And when they're able to affect change like this at such a massive scale in such a short time, it speaks to our belief that this is really important. And Microsoft had announced recently this Secure Future Initiative, which might be the most large overall security focus at Microsoft since the Trustworthy Computing Initiative all the way back in 2003. And this could be in light of that, where one of the things coming out of that was to say, we are empowering decision makers inside the company to move faster and make changes, even if they're breaking changes in the name of security benefit. And so Andy touched on a lot of the security benefit with this model, getting to this state where you're looking for the management state of the device and you're continuously checking it. I also always point out that this architecture makes more sense because to me, saying we're going to build devices that we're about to ship out and have a life cycle of 3 or 4 years in our environment with a continuous dependency on line of sight to an internal on-premises domain controller, that doesn't make a lot of sense. And so we want to eliminate that technical debt and those dependencies because they really prevent us from moving forward in a lot of ways, like the concept of a zero trust network architecture, where honestly, your client PC shouldn't really be sitting on a trusted corporate network at all. There should be no moat and castle. They should just be out in the forest, out in the world, and they access resources just in time with just enough access when they need to. And so moving to this model also helps create those incentives and that architecture as well. So this is definitely very interesting to see this come about, and was honestly very excited about it because, like you said, Andy, we're both really passionate about this. So I will end with my thoughts with just one final callback. We previously recorded one of our most listened to episodes, two shows, with friend of the show, Shannon Fritz, about device identity. And if you're still having heartburn over moving to cloud native Entra Join Windows PCs, you should go listen to those shows because we give you a roadmap for how to get started and what are actual challenges and actual rough edges you may run into versus what are urban myths or wives' tales, because there are a lot of those. I see this still continuously. People say, well, we need access to on-premises file shares. I say that is absolutely not a problem with Entra Join devices. And so when you're operating with this incomplete set of knowledge, the first thing you do is educate yourself and then start to move forward. Thought this was cool. Andy, I think for you and me both, no impact from this change because all of our Microsoft company devices or personal devices accessing company resources are all Entra Joined already. I suspect the amount of devices that aren't at this point is rather small because as we discussed, it's almost difficult to hybrid join a device anymore, but at Microsoft at least. But long-winded answer short, dear listener and viewer, if you're not moving towards this state, you really need to, because by the end of this month, Microsoft is going to say, we have no more Entra Join, hybrid join devices. And most customers I talk to, they're all hybrid join. So that's a really big gap between where you are and where you need to be.
Yeah, we had this conversation in our thread where we talked about how you can actually still hybrid join a device. And that's very difficult because a lot of us are in the field, but even more difficult because many years ago, Microsoft removed all CorpNet from their satellite offices.
Mm-hmm.
So if you go to a satellite office, which they have been closing quite a few because people haven't been really using them because people stay at home. Adam, you're in Des Moines and they just closed that office.
Yeah, just last month. Yep.
And that was one of the largest ones that was still around. They closed the Milwaukee sales office years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's very difficult to even get to an office, and they removed all CorpNet from those offices. If you were there, the internet was just straight out to the internet. It was just a plain connection out to the internet. And
right.
So the exactly. only way to really do it is like finagle it on VPN, you know, some hacking way of doing it, or traveling literally to Redmond and getting on CorpNet and connecting there and domain joining the machine. Because hybrid enter join is still in essence a domained join machine. If you go back and listen to that episode that Adam is talking about with Shannon, which is years ago, like we've been talking about this for literally years and we're still talking about it. And now at least our company is at the point where we're like, yeah, we're only going to go to enter join devices, which is huge for a major corporation like Microsoft's. Definitely, you know, take a listen to the shows and think about, you know, where your journey is when it comes to this. Like I said, if you're still just domain joining it and you haven't even gone through the steps of clicking on the AD sync and doing the hybrid enter join and doing conditional access with that, you're way behind the curve. So get to it, put this on your to-do list, start working towards it. And yeah, those episodes that we have with Shannon give you a roadmap on how to get started with enter join. And I even wrote a blog. I could put that blog in the show notes as well on how to get started if you prefer just kind of instructions rather than a podcast.
One final thought before we move on. Even at Microsoft, even in Microsoft IT, they acknowledge that there is no really good way to do an in-place migration from hybrid join to enter join. It is a reset the PC and start over, which means if you haven't started, whatever your PC refresh cycle is, you are a minimum of that many years away from being done with this and getting to this state. So that's why Andy and I, when we keep talking about, like, you need to get started on this, you need to get going, because if you start tomorrow and start deploying them in production, you're 3 years away, unless you have a shorter cycle or you plan to bring devices back in house and manually reimage them and put them on cloud join. Because I do think at most companies, there's much more expectation of white glove IT treatment than at Microsoft, where at Microsoft, one thing that does make change easier is they can basically tell you, like, you're going to go do this on your own and you're expected to be able to do it. And even for people who are in non-technical roles, salespeople that I might work with are still expected to be able to at least follow the steps and do it. So that can be a little different. Long story short, you're probably at least 3 years off. So you need to get going because, you know, still hybrid joining devices in 2027 doesn't sound.
So the other topic I wanted to talk about tonight is licensing when it comes to Microsoft and how we bundle our software. Because I had a CISO meeting this week where they made the comment on how upset he was because of how Microsoft bundles all of our licensing and our products, but we don't include any of the security solutions in the ME3 bundle. So generally, we have an ME3 bundle, we have an ME5 bundle, and then there's all these other different types of bundles. But the majority of our security stuff when it comes to like endpoint protection and Defender for Office, which are, you know, email and office defense and so on and so forth, they come in the later SKUs and bundles that aren't included in the ME3, which is, you know, Windows Enterprise, Office 365, and EMS, which is Enterprise Mobility and Security, which most people have, includes Intune and Entra ID P1, gives you, you know, single sign-on and conditional access and all those nice goodies, but it doesn't include some of the more advanced things. And I think a lot of customers might have this thought as well. You know, why doesn't Microsoft include some more security things in the basic bundles? Because we think security is so important. Why don't we just include it? And I think it's a nice thought, but if you think about how anything works in this world where you have a product and then something new or something additional comes out for it, it usually doesn't go back and get it. Like, for example, I bought my car in 2017 and it didn't come with Apple CarPlay. And then in 2018, they came out a version with Apple CarPlay. Well, the manufacturer of that vehicle didn't say, hey, Andy, come back and bring your car in and we'll retrofit your 2017 with Apple CarPlay for free. You know, it just, I was stuck. And so if I wanted to, I had to buy a new car with it. You know, it's just like same thing with software or games, right? Like think about if you're playing a Nintendo game, you know, Super Mario Brothers 1, and then they come out with a Super Mario Brothers 2. They're not going to just give you the second version because you purchased the first version. You have to buy the second one. There was additional programming, labor that all went into it. Like this is how the world works, right? And so obviously, you know, one of the biggest things that we get pushed back on is, you know, Microsoft's a very rich company. You can probably afford to do this. But one of the things that I think people should think about is we have so many different customers and everyone wants something different, right? We try to cater our solutions and bundles to what we think the majority want, but there's always people who are doing their own thing. And I think if you were to toss in all of these security things into the E3 bundle, most likely we'd have to raise the prices of E3. And then you'd get people who are on E3 who don't want some of the things or don't need some of the things because they've gone out and purchased like Okta or Mimecast or something else. And so they don't want to pay more for something that they already have another solution for. That's just to say, you know, just think about it from a licensing standpoint, because it's not something that I don't think is ever really going to happen.
If you look at a couple of years ago, there was a price increase for E3, and that was the first price increase on it in almost a decade. It had stayed at the same price for about 10 years, from something like 2011 to 2021, effectively. And the price went up because, I mean, everything, the price of everything else went up over those 10 years, and that stayed really static. And there was a ton of innovation that went into the solutions that were already part of it, because there is the thought process that when you get a cloud service, it can have continuous innovation. And certainly, if you look at what Office 365 looked like in 2011 versus what it looked like in 2021, the capability set and feature set was dramatically improved and different over time. And then even new things were added that were previously additional costs. Microsoft Teams was added. Originally wasn't even a thing that existed. And, you know, there are customers that already had Slack in place and they didn't want or need Teams. They felt like when that price increase came out, hey, am I paying for Teams that I didn't want? Or audio conferencing was baked into it where you could do dial in. You could send somebody, hey, here's a meeting and here's the number to dial in case you can't use like a voice over IP connection. And that was in response, I think, in part to the fact that Zoom did it as an example, and that became part of E3. So there was the innovation in the core functionality of it, and then things were added to it. And that price increase, as you would imagine, any price increase was not exactly very popular. People don't like the prices of anything to go up, and it was a modest increase. It was something like a little over 10%, which over a decade seems very, very reasonable. And so Andy's right. You know, if you start bundling in more things and people say, well, I don't want that, I don't want that, I don't want to pay for it. And so you look, Microsoft obviously has history in the past having a consent decree with the United States government over previous anti-competitive behavior. And it really changed how Microsoft functioned moving forward. I will say, when Microsoft first recruited me to come work there, the first thing I had to do was go delete a bunch of mean tweets I had written about Microsoft. I had been critical of the organization. And my first thought was, well, I'm glad Satya Nadella is there now. I didn't really agree with some of the ways past leadership ran the company, but I really appreciate Satya's approach to being a kinder, gentler tech giant.
and competing fairly in our world. Competing fairly means you don't use an area of extreme strength to add on something that is maybe in a more competitive market. That's not competing fairly. That's using your strength over here to leverage it over there. And that's why I think in part we want to compete fairly. And we also recognize security is improved when we do that. And so we try to price our products, you know, commensurate with market cost of what the other vendors cost. We try to compete and get ahead of them. And sometimes they get ahead of us. And there's always this dog and pony show. That's the wrong word. This cat and mouse game where we're all competing with each other to improve our products. And security is an incredibly competitive space. And so I think if you look at if Microsoft were to bundle some of the solutions, how would CrowdStrike feel about it? Or how would Proofpoint feel about that? If some of those things that today compete fairly, then started to get bundled in. And again, what about customers who already had a competitive solution? I think if you look at it, Microsoft is actually moving in a lot of ways away from bundling, where we're still going to have different suites. We have an Intune suite and maybe an Entra suite in the future and some of these other things. But overall, like these big monolithic suites, we haven't gone to that. People keep joking, when's E7 coming out? And I don't think E7 is ever going to be a thing because we see that as much more specialized today. And so we're going to go meet our customers where they are and go match what they need to the solutions we have. And it's going to be much more individual product selling than it's going to be suite selling, I think, in the future. That certainly appears to be the case at Microsoft. And I think that's overall a good thing. And you look at Microsoft being preemptively responsive to scrutiny from regulators around the world and unbundling teams around the world. We announced that publicly a couple of days ago to where customers in every corner of the world, this was previously only in the European Economic Community, Economic Area, EEA, and Switzerland could unbundle teams. Now everyone in every corner of the world can, even in places where there hasn't been regulatory scrutiny to do that. Again, that's about competing fairly with the Slacks of the world. And if customers want to use Slack instead of us, they can. And so that's something really important to us. But I don't think you're going to see us bundle this in there. Security is an expensive business. It's hard to fund the ongoing research and development and the massive teams we've had. Microsoft loves to throw out these big numbers when we talk about our security business. And I've seen them grow over time when it was X trillion number of signals for day. It was 43 trillion. Then it was 65 trillion. Now it's 75 trillion. And it used to be we had 3,500 full-time security researchers and engineers. That number's grown to 10,000 now over the last 4 or 5 years. So that is more than tripled the number of headcount we have working on security-related solutions and research and engineering and all of that. And that costs a lot of money to run. Andy, I think you pointed it out, but if you didn't, Microsoft's not a charity. It is a for-profit business and it's publicly traded. We have a fiduciary responsibility to our shareholders to be good stewards of their investment and making sure we're doing that wisely. I think we absolutely believe in security as a team sport and we give back to the community a lot, but we do have a responsibility where we can to sell our products for a fair price and try to have some customers choose to do business with us. And we're very grateful for that. So Andy, I think you summarized it well, but yeah, I don't see that happening either. I think we'll continue to build value in E3 where it makes sense. We continue. E5 has grown dramatically compared to what it was a couple of years ago. So, customers who invested with us and went on that journey with us have certainly gotten more value for their same dollar as time has gone on. And by the way, E5 did not have a price increase a couple of years ago like E3 did. So that even became a better value over time.
Yeah. And honestly, I still think, you know, if I were to go to another company as a security engineer, as a security architect, I still think E5 is the best bang for your buck when it comes to security solutions. I mean, you get everything, including the CASB solution, an on-prem identity solution, endpoint, email, Office, and then all the compliance things that come with it, information protection, insider risk management, e-discovery, so on and so forth. So it is just a massive value. But of course, you're free to go and pick whatever security solution you want. And I think that's the beauty of it here is that, yeah, while you bundle it, you can still go somewhere else. Oh, and by the way, even if you go and pick something else, a lot of our solutions will work with those third-party vendors. Like if you want to use Mimecast or Proofpoint as an MX record email security gateway, you can still use Defender for Office on an API basis for the other Office apps. Like we just talked about that in our previous episode when we talked about external user Teams phishing. Same thing with endpoint protection. You want to use CrowdStrike? Guess what? You could still use Defender for Endpoint in what we call a passive mode. The AV agent will act passively. It won't take any enforcement, but it'll still feed the data so that you have that secondary window into what else is going on. So there's ways to get value out of it, even if you're using a third-party solution.
To that point, you know, we just recently launched Copilot for Security. And while I think it's a tremendous value if you're using a lot of the Microsoft security solutions, I was stunned at how many independent software vendors, including some that are outright competitive with Microsoft, have built plugins for that solution. Splunk, Cisco, BitSight, Checkpoint, CyberArk, Jamf Protect, Netskope, Qualys, Saviant, Tanium, VMware, Wiz, and Zimperium all have connectors with Copilot for Security. So you talk about building open architectures where you can bring in your third-party solutions as needed. Certainly, even with our most recent launch, which is a very important launch for Microsoft, including to make it capable of adding third parties. So, and Andy, I just want to say I agree in terms of bang for your buck. I'll put it more bluntly. It is not possible to create a multi-vendor platform for the amount of money that E5 costs. You cannot cover all of the same solution areas for that amount of money. You will pay more. And maybe you think it's worth it to pay more. And that's certainly your choice. But it is absolutely the most comprehensive security and compliance platform you can buy for the lowest amount of money. I don't care how good your procurement is. I don't care how hardcore you negotiate. You're not doing it for less than that. And people like to compare platform versus best of breed. And I don't want this episode to come off too much like a sales pitch, but just as an awareness piece, like there are multiple components that are best of breed in the Microsoft platform. Defender for Endpoint, Entra, ID, Defender for Office 365, Purview Information Protection, just to name a few, are all best of breed in their individual category. They're as good as you can buy. Very, very competitive solutions. Oh, Intune, of course. Probably, arguably, the best solution in its category at this point. Certainly, it's not like you're giving up capability to go with the Microsoft platform either. So I think we have very value-added options if you choose to go with us. And if you want to put together your own platform, we'll meet you where you are. And we'll do as much with you as you want to do with us. And we'll find a way to make that priced right for you, for sure.
Well, that's our show for this week. Thanks for watching and listening as always. Our contact information will be in the show notes if you have any questions or topics you want us to talk about in the future. Thanks. We'll talk to you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to the Blue Security Podcast. Please check out the show notes, catch up on episodes you may have missed, and subscribe so you don't miss any future episodes. Find Andy on Twitter @AJawZero and Adam @AJBrewer. See you at our next episode.